Welcome to the Florida Grown Femme Podcast,
where best friends Janet and Sage cover everything from sex to Starbucks.
Grab a coffee and join.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Florida Grown Femmes. I'm Janet.
And I'm Sage.
And this week's question is, what happened to the baby? And so, trigger warning, just right ahead of this, this episode, we are going to be talking about miscarriages. And so that is the theme. It's a question that is unfortunately a uncomfortable question to ask to someone who might have experienced a miscarriage and stuff. So this episode, that's what we're going to be dealing with. And Sage, do you want to like intro this episode and kind of talk about why we're talking about this?
Yeah, definitely. So I've been pretty public on social media saying that I have experienced a miscarriage. And one of the reasons why I really felt we should talk about this on the podcast is because, people don't talk about it, you right. know, yeah. A lot of people suffer in silence. They mm-hmm. grieve in silence. And I think a lot of people who have not experienced a miscarriage don't realize actually how common it is or how many people they probably know who have experienced that, because we're right. not, we don't really talk about it. So, I want to share, and I want from this episode, people who have experienced a miscarriage to know that they're not alone. Mm-hmm. And people who haven't to know that they definitely know someone who has.
Yes, it's a lot more common. Yeah. So this is for honestly every woman. So even if you haven't, like I have not, you know, like Sage said, she has, and I have not. So this is for every woman, because maybe you don't know a female right now in your life that has experienced this. Maybe you're only 18, 19, 20 listening to this, but I can tell you as someone that's about to turn 31, that this is now a conversation in my friend group. Like this was something that we never talked about before, but now it is.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
So Sage, please, when you feel ready, like share your story, maybe tell us when, like timeline, like when this happened.
Yeah, definitely. So I got pregnant in 2018. Mm. And by the time we found out we were pregnant, it was already 5 weeks. So mm-hmm.
This was like the end of 2018. Am I right?
Yeah, it was in October 2018. Mm-hmm. We were already 5 weeks pregnant, and we actually found out the day before we left for a 2-week counseling seminar. Tymon mm-hmm. and I were going together to a counseling seminar to Ireland, actually. Cool. And we found out the day before we flew out, like I took a pregnancy test and it was positive.
Wow.
So it was like, holy crap, like what's going on? Yeah. So it was like a little bit of excitement, a little bit of fear, you know, like this was our first time having that little positive on the pregnancy test. So we flew up to Ireland. Obviously we didn't tell anybody, because society tells you, you know, you should wait the 3 months, mm-hmm. the first trimester to tell people. We were still kind of just like taking all this in ourselves, you know, like, yeah. Oh my God, we're going to have a kid. And so
how long had you guys been married at that point?
We got married in 2016. In the summer. So it was about 2 years. We had been married for about 2 years by then.
And were you trying at this point?
We were trying. Okay. And hopeful. We had already been trying for like 3 or 4 months.
Okay.
Didn't have any success.
Right.
Actually, looking back, I do wonder if we had already had a miscarriage. But because I never had that, I never did that pregnancy test to see if it was positive. I don't know. And I'll explain that later.
Sure.
So we had been married for 2 years. We were ready. We wanted to start a family. We're in Ireland, and made it through the first week. I was starting to feel symptoms of pregnancy, like mm-hmm. nausea, just exhausted.
Yeah.
You know, just slowly starting to feel that. And all of a sudden one night, I started getting these, like a pain in my stomach.
Yeah.
And it hurt so bad that I actually went to the ER.
Wow.
They checked And they were like, oh, it's probably gas. There's nothing wrong with you. I'm like, wow, I went to the ER for gas. embarrassing. So then we came home and we went back to the place we were staying. Nothing. Another week goes by. And at the end of that week, I had it again. These really sharp, intense pains.
Yeah.
And I started bleeding. And I, now that I've had a successful pregnancy and I've given birth, I understand what a contraction feels like. Yeah. Whereas that, my first time being pregnant, I didn't know what a contraction felt like. So I was actually having contractions, not just random stomach pain or something. I was having contractions and bleeding, and basically my body was rejecting the fetus for whatever reason. So they rushed me to the hospital again, and I actually lost this fetus. It was about, I guess, at 7 weeks, actually in the hospital bathroom, because they didn't give me a room like quick enough when we got there. And I didn't even know that's what was happening again, because it was my first time being pregnant. Right. I only understood all of this looking back. So that we lost the baby in the hospital, which was actually called Daisy. The name of the hospital was called Daisy. That's why we refer to that pregnancy as, you know, as Daisy. And that was really challenging, and that was really hard. The hardest part, though, is what came after, because I was then bleeding for weeks. Okay. It was like being on your period for a month or longer. And basically, because I had had the miscarriage in Ireland, but then I came back to Germany, my German doctors wanted to make sure that the baby, baby was actually gone. Okay. Because there is a chance that, because nobody, because it happened in the bathroom. There is always a chance that you could start bleeding, but it could be what's called an ectopic pregnancy, which is where a fetus is growing in inside the ovary or inside the fallopian tube. And if that doesn't get removed, it's actually can be deadly to the mom, because basically it can explode. Your ovary or your fallopian tube can explode and can be deadly. Yeah, it can be deadly. So they were, so basically after we had the miscarriage, they had to, I had to go every second or third day or something and get blood drawn to test my pregnancy hormone to make sure it was like declining. So that there actually wasn't a pregnancy.
That's crazy.
And so basically I had lost this child, this fetus, and was being reminded of it every second day. So the grieving process was, didn't feel like I was allowed to grieve, you know, because it was like, you, either you're still bleeding or they're still taking your blood, or you're constantly just being reminded of like you're in this situation, even though technically you lost the fetus, you know, weeks before. For some women, they have a, what's called like a DNC, which is where they clean out the uterus. And I didn't have that. My story is a little bit complicated, because in the time that they were checking my hormones and it was like slowly going down, it started to go back up, and the doctors were freaking out. They thought for sure it was an ectopic pregnancy. Something was growing in the ovary or the fallopian tube. And I will never forget, it was on a Friday. And the doctor said, she told me, I would like to send you to the hospital to get a DNC, which is where they clean out your uterus. And then she said, but I'm going to get a second opinion. She brought in a colleague, and he was like, no, like, let's give it the weekend. Let's give it the weekend. And on Monday, we'll test your hormones again. And thank God for that doctor, who's actually the best doctor I've ever had, because on that Monday, it turned out that I was pregnant again. And that was our first son, Milo, and he almost got DNC'd. But yeah. And so I was pregnant again. So I actually, unlike many women, did not have a time to just grieve that first pregnancy because all of a sudden I was pregnant again.
Yeah.
Whereas the majority of women who have a miscarriage, they will have more than one. They will have it again and again. Like once you have a miscarriage, your chances of having a miscarriage are higher, basically.
Yeah.
So my situation is unique, just like everybody else's situation. Yeah. So it was a really hard grieving process for me because it was like I hadn't even grieved, you know, losing Daisy.
Right.
And then, like, then I was supposed to be excited about being pregnant again. And it was like, well, I just did that being pregnant thing and it turned out not great. So, you know, and the whole time I was pregnant with our son, Milo, I was terrified.
Yeah.
Terrified that something would happen and we would lose, you know, another baby.
Yeah.
Just a lot of fear that came with that.
Well, naturally, I think it's like naturally, like fear comes with that after you've experienced it once, like, and like you said, statistically and stuff, like it's more likely to happen again and stuff. So it is a really scary thing to be going through and stuff. So I guess, I do have, a couple questions and stuff. So
of course,
I mean, I think there's a couple things, like, you know, maybe when we were younger, like obviously that wasn't the conversations that were had. I don't know miscarriage wasn't something that we were necessarily talking about like 10 years ago. I think we were aware of it like that, like as the idea that like your body naturally can reject a pregnancy and stuff. And I think I knew it was like accidental, like that kind of stuff. Like I knew that, but I do think maybe either it's our age or maybe people are just being more open with it and stuff. But I hear like the term rainbow baby. And I do also hear women openly talking about or posting about like, I've lost the baby. And I've had friends like obviously like you're my best friend and you've experienced that. And I'm like I said, like now in my friend group, it's a conversation because I've have multiple friends who have gone through miscarriages and we've gone through the feelings of like, oh my God, so exciting to, And I don't know what to say. So I think what are your thoughts on, is it being talked about more? Maybe talk a little bit about like, what's this term rainbow baby that we're seeing for those that don't know? And what do you think is like, what does a friend do in this situation?
Definitely. Just to answer your question about what's a rainbow baby. So rainbow, they're kind of taking it as like the miracle. So it's basically the child that's birthed healthy after a miscarriage. So Milo is my rainbow baby, basically.
Gotcha.
And the thing about how can you support someone who's gone through a miscarriage? Or like, what can you do? Mm-hmm. First of all, as a society, like, you know, you said you've known friends. Okay. But many women don't even share in the first trimester that they are pregnant, which means that you may never know. Right. And it's hard to support somebody about something that you're not aware of.
Right.
You know, or to be sensitive or even to help them grieve. So right. I would say, first of all, you know, as a society, we have to like do something about that.
Yeah.
Cause many women and partners are grieving alone.
Yeah.
And I think with a miscarriage, some people like to like make light of it. Like, oh, well, at least it wasn't like born yet. At least it wasn't in your arms. At least this, at least, you know, or you'll get pregnant again. You'll, you know, it'll work for you. It'll happen for you. And I think like just not trying to skip over their grief process.
Yeah.
You know, allowing people to grieve, allowing them to be in the moment.
Yeah.
You know, cause they may very well have a good viable pregnancy after a miscarriage, but that doesn't change the fact that they have lost something.
Yeah.
And I can speak to that personally because, you know, every time I go to the gynecologist, they ask me, okay, how many pregnancies have you had? Mm. They don't ask me, how many kids do you have? How many pregnancies have you had? And I always now have to say three, mm-hmm. but I only have one and a half, yeah. no, healthy babies. Right. You know what I mean? And so there is this, you know, it doesn't just go away.
Yeah.
It is there. It's on my record. It's a constant reminder that, you know, I've lost something. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, to this day, I still grieve, even though I am a very blessed and lucky to have had, you know, given birth to a healthy baby. And I'm now experiencing a second healthy pregnancy. Mm-hmm. But like, for example, on Mother's Day, the woman at the florist shop gave me a single daisy just wow. to be nice. Just like, she was like, oh, you're expecting, like, you're a mom as well. Here's a daisy. And I sobbed the entire way home. I yeah. sobbed the entire way home
yeah.
because it wow. was like that, you know, Daisy made me a mom too.
Yeah.
That was my first experience with motherhood was loss. Mm. And I am not the only woman. Many women will have the first experience or only experience of loss as a mother, you know? Mm. And I think that that doesn't disqualify you as a mom. You know,
right.
I think we need to add that into the, what it means to be a mother as well is to experience loss. Yeah. So I think as a friend, you grieve with your friend, mm-hmm. you fucking grieve as if they had lost someone that you knew as well.
Yeah.
You know,
I would say with that too, because you touched on it, like also let your friend set the pace, you know, if they yeah. are hesitant to share their pregnancy online and stuff, be respectful of that. You know, I've had friends who like what Sage and stuff, like their entire pregnancy, they were worried and what, you know, they didn't get that. I think people always assume that it's a happy, joyous occasion and not that it's not, but there is fear and anxiety that can come with it and stuff, especially if you've experienced loss before. And
yeah.
I think we need to be more understanding as women and as friends, like, you know, don't put that pressure on our friends. You know, we know now that it's not always appropriate to ask like, hey, when are you going to have kids? Like, you know, I would hope right. now we know that PSA, like it's not always appropriate to be asking someone special. Oh my God. Like the number of times, like, honestly, like it's like people, like it's the older people have the best intentions, but it's literally mm-hmm. at the wedding where they're like asking couples like, all right, when's the baby? And it's like, they literally 2 hours ago just said, I do, like,
yeah,
hold
yeah.
on. Like, yeah. you know, like let them set the pace and stuff, mm-hmm. let them, let your friends decide what is appropriate because every yeah. woman is allowed to make that decision for themselves and yeah. just be respectful of that. And let what Sage is saying, grieve with your friend if they want to grieve. Yes. I think there, yes. I have like, and I'm not, and I won't name friends and stuff. Like, you know, I have friends that, you know, even just recently at brunch, they were like, I would mm-hmm. have a 4-month-old right now if that didn't happen. And it was yeah. like, you know, yeah. we took that moment to be with her and stuff because mm-hmm. that it's not fair to just ignore that, you know, if they mm-hmm. want to talk about it and stuff, we'll talk about it in a moment and stuff in the respectful way. That's not in a, you know, holding on or whatever that is mm-hmm. and stuff. But also, you know, I have friends that they've mentioned it to us in passing, like, hey, I know what you're experiencing, but I won't talk about it. And you just honor mm-hmm. that because it's,
yeah.
that you don't know what they've gone through. They might be working mm-hmm. through their own counseling on the side and they don't have yeah. to tell you that and stuff. So it's just be there and, as friends.
And just also understand that, you know, pregnancy loss, miscarriage mm-hmm. is a very personal thing because it happened inside of your body.
Yeah.
There's so many questions that come up. Like, what did I do wrong? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with my body? It is a very vulnerable experience.
Yeah.
Also because in a pregnancy, you give so much of your own body you literally give your own yeah. body to this fetus, to this child. And regardless of when you lose it, yeah. lose a child, like you have given something, you have given a sleepless night, you have dealt with nausea, you have, you know what I mean? Like it came at a cost. Mm. And it is the weirdest feeling to know that something died within you. It's weird enough to think of something thriving and growing inside of you.
Yeah.
But that something died or, you know, whatever yeah. didn't survive inside of you is a really weird, like,
yeah.
Philosophical experience, yeah. you know, and you can't really compare it to something else. And I think women need the space and they need community to talk. They need good friends to talk it through. But they definitely don't need people. Yeah. Rushing them or anything like that.
Yeah.
And I do just want to say, cause some people are thinking like, okay, how common is this? Or, you know, stuff like that. And the statistics show that 1 in 4 pregnancies, as in a woman knew she was pregnant, mm-hmm. 1 in 4 ends in miscarriage, 25%. Wow. They believe that the actual percentage is 50% because there are women who are pregnant and don't never know it.
Yeah.
Because it happens maybe so early or before they would have done a test and they think, oh, I'm just having a heavy period a week late.
Right.
So they estimate that number to be about 50% of pregnancies.
Wow.
Which
that is, number is, yeah, that number I think is really big and scary, I think, when you say it, but I do think that's important to know because, you know, this is not like this episode is about honoring your story, Sage, and all our other female listeners and all our females that have gone through this experience and stuff. Yeah. But that as a society, I think we need to acknowledge and stuff that like what Sage just said, this is something that naturally like is uncontrollable, you yeah. know, into 50% of like, if that's like that statistic and stuff is,
yeah,
if that's an insane number. And, yeah. you know, I don't know if people are aware that there are women that are going to jail for miscarrying that where,
I mean, it's wild.
And like, and that's in America, ladies, like not, we're yeah. not talking third world countries. Like this is also something that, you know, we talk about the Handmaid's Tale and stuff, but like, mm-hmm. these are things, ladies, where it's being criminalized. Mm-hmm. It's because of a lack of knowledge. It's a lack yeah. of understanding. It's a lack of compassion. Yeah. And as women, we need to stand together and unite with each other and not allow, and ladies, hear me when I say this, I'm not anti-men, like men can be advocates and stuff. Mm-hmm. But when I say this, like men should not be in control of legislation that regulates our bodies.
Yeah, totally.
And we need to be able to have more compassion in how we, and as a Christian, we have got to have more compassion for women because we are pushing women away outside of the church by not acknowledging that there is grief in this and that this is not yeah. any of this. So that is just my little soapbox there that as
well, I want to jump back. Yeah. I want to piggyback on that. Just talking about my own personal experience, what I experienced. Okay. I was during the miscarriage when they thought it was ectopic, I was terrified.
Yeah.
My ovary could explode at any moment.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're talking about, this was way beyond the 6 week mark yeah. when I had the miscarriage and then they were still checking my hormones. We're talking, this is, you know, two and a half months in, almost a full, you know, wow. Yeah. First trimester. And then they started talking about, well, maybe we need to do the DNC. And, I just want to say like, what I needed in that moment was to have honest conversations with my healthcare providers, me and my doctors. I did not need legislature and all that up in my business. I did not need to be worried about if I had had a DNC, yeah. if I was going to go to jail or if I had had, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. like what is that law in Pennsylvania that you have to go and get a death certificate? And like now, if you have a miscarriage, like,
right.
Imagine, like, that's, I mean, so invasive.
It's just, you know, if a woman needs that to grieve, then she should be able to have that. But I don't think it should be a mandatory thing at all.
Right.
And for me, it was just like, I needed to talk with my healthcare providers without worrying about anything else. Yeah. I needed to consider my body, my health.
Yes.
All that. Yeah. And I made the decision,
right?
You know, with two different doctors talking to me that I was going to wait the weekend, you yeah. know? And I think a lot of people could look at that and go, oh, but look, you were pregnant. It was Milo. But given the 6 and 8 weeks before, like, there was no telling what was coming. There was no telling. And I, you know, I had some family actually visiting, and I was terrified. I was terrified the whole weekend. What if my ovary explodes? What if my fallopian tubes explode right now? Yeah. And I have to be rushed to the hospital and hope to survive. Like, right. I'm sorry, you know, we have this idea in society that pregnancy is all like rosy cheeks and a radiant glow. And I'm sorry, but this is now my third pregnancy. And I'm telling you, like, that is definitely not the case, at least not the case for everyone. It can be. There are situations where you're scary.
What's the movie? It's based off the book, but What to Expect when you're expecting. Elizabeth Banks.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's a good one.
Having like being pregnant, and then she's like, "This fucking sucks. Like,
it's terrible. Yeah,
like fuck this shit. Like, you know." And yeah, like we need to acknowledge and stuff. Like, again, it is not rainbows and butterflies being a fucking woman. Like, it's not. Like, it's there's some great fucking parts to it. I don't want to be a man, but like. Fuck, like, it's more like, you know, I feel like a volcano, like on Hawaii, like, you know, like I'm pretty, but fuck, like, it's like there's some danger up here, you know, like,
yeah, and wild. It's just, I just know that what I needed in that moment was peace.
Yeah,
I needed to do what was best for my body in that moment. Right. I needed to have a doctor. I needed to have a doctor who also wasn't concerned about the legislation. He was, they were both two doctors concerned about my health, what was best for me. And one doctor knew, for example, if you have a DNC, it's also harder to get pregnant again. So that was also his thinking, like, let's give it the weekend, you know, because we don't want to do this procedure if we don't have to. You know, and so that's what I needed was them looking out from my best interests.
Yeah,
because at that point, you need
a fucking second opinion. That happens all the time.
And I'm sorry, but I did not need the government up in my uterus in that point.
Right,
no offense,
you shouldn't.
You shouldn't.
You don't need, like, honestly, the most, like, and I don't know where we've lost this, because again, like, we are called to love. And the most loving thing that you can do for someone is to give them fucking healthcare, however that fucking looks like, you know, doctors, like they are like, and that's a whole other thing and stuff.
Yeah.
The whole experience and stuff is so personal and intimate.
It is very personal.
They deserve the privacy to grieve however they choose to, or to react however they choose to react. There's no right or wrong way to this, but yet we are telling women that there are, you know, by not acknowledging it, by legislating it. And so we need to stop doing that. So women, like, as friends, like, let's come together. Like, the show is like, you shouldn't be surprised that we're telling you to come together. This is just another way as women to support each other, to be like, to rally around each other and stuff, because this is something that, you know, it's not something that should be kept in the dark anymore.
Yeah, no, I agree. And yeah, it's just, it shouldn't be kept in the dark anymore. And it's really like, it's such a vulnerable position.
Yeah.
That women need support systems of good healthcare providers. They need good friends. They need supportive family. They need, you know, like, they may need to see a counselor or a therapist, depending on how, like, the situation, you know, and that's okay.
Yeah.
They need networks. They need support networks, not rules and regulations. And
yes,
you know, that at least just would have made it even worse for me.
Yeah. Well, Sage, thank you so much for sharing your story, for being vulnerable, for putting yourself out there and letting our audience know, you know, a little bit more about you. And so that hopefully I hope people walk away with a little bit more compassion and a little bit more understanding and a little bit with their minds opened a little bit to what this is, that they pay attention to what people are saying and stuff around them. You know, for that, this is kind of a weird place kind of to wrap it up and stuff, but I'm just so thankful that we're at a place now where we can talk about this. And to our audience and our listeners and stuff, we hear you as well. So if there are subjects or topics that you want to hear about, like, please, like, we love listening. We love responding to you guys in our DMs and our comments and stuff. If there's something that you want to hear more about, if this really resonated with you, please subscribe and leave us a review and share it with your friends, because we love being able to do this with you guys. You know, when we started this out a few months ago, Sage and I didn't have a huge ass plan for it. We knew we wanted to have fun and we wanted to be able to provide value. And, you know, one of the things that's been so great is the community that we formed out of this. So if there's something that resonated with you, like I said, or you want to hear us talk about something, or, you know, we love talking about the things that no one else wants to talk about. So let us know. Let us know.
Definitely. Definitely.
All right. Well, Sage, do we have anything else? Do you want to say anything else before we wrap up or can say goodbye?
Yeah. I just want to say, like, if you've experienced a miscarriage, like, hey, you know, you're not alone. And I am, from the depths of my heart, like, I am sorry. Like, it sucks. It is a huge loss. And, you know, we are here for you. We support you, whatever that means, whatever that looks like. And we grieve with you as well. Yes. So hang in there. We're thinking about you. We're praying for you. And we love you guys. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can find us, you can be in community with us. You can find us at Florida Grown Femmes Podcast on Facebook and Instagram. You can also check out Sage's Instagram, Let's Talk with Sage. Although, just so we put this out there to our audience, because I think we should be putting this out there, because as a podcast, you don't visually see where Sage is at, but Sage is very far along in this 9 month of pregnancy and stuff. So do not be surprised if we go on maternity break soon, friends. So just put that out there as well. But again, please subscribe and review our podcast, guys. We love hearing from you guys. But until next time, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.